Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On Mystery Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your host, King Baby Duck. Wait a minute. Listen. Do you hear it? Is that what I think it is? Have the red robins come back from the south to begin nesting? I believe, yes, folks, spring is almost here, and thank God it is. Honestly, if I had to deal with one more snowstorm, I would have probably gone batshit berserker crazy. Wow, just look at those beautiful robins as they chirp away to say farewell to the winter and hello to the... Wow! What the hell? Stupid snow monkeys! I thought I killed you all off last year! Get out! Fucking snow monkeys. Anyways, I'm only a couple of days away from reporting all that you need to know about Anime Boston. I'll be hanging with Pandalicious from Esh, Philip the Issues Program, JC Riley of the Couchmasters, the Wicked Anime Crew, and 42 Believer, as well as a few other pals of ours within the anime realm. And, you know, while I'm sad that we won't be able to deliver the game show panel we've been secretly planning for the event, at the very least, we'll have our shit prepared in case an opening happens, so be sure to keep your eyes peeled on the B3 Facebook page for any freaking news. However, our good buddies Andrew and Jonathan will be doing the hardcore anime panel on Friday night at 11:30 p.m. in room 306 at the Heinz Convention Center, so do not miss out on that panel if you're going to AB. But enough chit-chat. We've got a lot to cover, so let's get the show underway with some great J-pop music. Remember, if you like what you hear, please be sure to support these artists by buying their music. And you can find just about all these releases on Amazon.com, CDJapan.co.jp, Bandcamp, iTunes, the official websites, and your local record store. We're going to start off with a band that we haven't played on No Borders, No Race probably since our radio show back at WMWM Salem. They're called Asakusa Jinta, and I remember seeing these guys back in 2007 when they rocked the TT the Bears during that year's Japan Night Show. Here's something from that year's album, Sky Zero. It's called Crow's Dance.
空さ、いつかの海岸見せしめ黒い泣き殻。 ずいた三ロドの中身だと三ロドのデスデスデス高い空から見下ろし押し合いへし合い暮らしてる気がつけどっちも魚の種飛べなくなったお前は今日も一人さサンオドロナハミラコサンオドロダンスダンスデ
Queen with Messiah from their fake EP. They sadly disbanded back in 2011, soon after they came over to America for a small tour. Yeah, it happens sometimes. So this past Thursday, I attended the first night of the Dropkick Murphys St. Patrick's Day celebration shows. For the past 14 years, these have been a staple of the Boston music scene during the holiday, with the event growing bigger and bigger every year. In fact, I recall one year they had to hold it at the TD Garden and it got so popular. But this year, they did 4 sold-out gigs at the House of Blues, and then on St. Paddy's Day, they held it at the Lansdowne Pub. Opening up for them this year was one band I wasn't quite familiar with, and another that I think all of you listeners out there have grown accustomed to if you've been listening to B3 for a while. So I get to the House of Blues, and I find myself a nice spot near the front, in the middle, as I know a lot of the mosh pit stuff usually doesn't happen until the main act goes on. You see, while I approve and love the concept of a mosh pit, I want to be nowhere near one, because I had a very uncomfortable experience being slammed spine first into a table at a Guitar Wolf show, like back in 2011, and that's when I fully knew that I wanted no part of a mosh pit ever again. So the first act goes on, and they call themselves the Boston Strangler. They're like the opening act before the opening acts. They play for about 25 minutes, and I thought they were great. I was sad to see that the crowd wasn't feeling them like I was, though. They kind of had that sort of Black Flag meets early Fucked Up kind of sound, and their lead singer reminded me of a very young Henry Rollins. I'm actually on the search for one of their albums, but they don't seem to have, like, an official website, unless it's, like, really, really well hidden. Maybe they're, like, one of those underground hardcore punk rock bands. Then came on the first opening act, our favorite English folk band and honorary Bostonians, Skinny Lister. And this is the first time I'm seeing them live since they added a drummer to the group, and his name is Dave Neal, and I'm hoping I pronounced that right. When I first heard they added a main percussionist to the band, you know, I was a little worried that they'd get a guy who, I don't know, would take something away from the folksy sound they have. But, you know, fortunately, it was the opposite effect, as Neil brought an old-time jamboree kind of vibe behind the kit, and it actually helped elevate the band more so than I could have imagined. They did a slew of new songs, as well as a few from their Forge and Flagon album, which was number 5 of my top albums of 2013 list, if you recall. It was after they did their rendition of John Kanaka when the guy standing next to me asked me about the band. I was wearing one of their t-shirts. So I filled him in on the group, their background, and so forth, and he quickly became a fan once Michael jumped down from the stage and started crowd surfing with his stand-up bass. I mean, you should have seen the guy's eyes. It was like, holy shit, I've never seen that before. I mean, how can you not fall in love with the band after seeing a spectacle like that? Lorna even passed the flagon around, filled with their trademark ginger and rum, and that shit will put hair on your chest when you take a swig of it. Soon after their set, I walked over to their merch booth to say hi, but you know, I couldn't help overhearing many people saying something along the lines of, like, man, that act was great, what were their names again? So I became like a walking, talking billboard for the band for the following 10 or 15 minutes. And I finally get to the merch table, and I believe it was Daniel who was the first to see me. And we say hi, we do a little catching up, and then his wife, Lorna, notices me, and she leaps across the merch table, gives me a huge hug and kiss on the cheek, and again, we do a little catching up. They bring me down a beer, and Max finally comes down, and more catching up. I also gave the guys that royal decree I made when myself, Luanic Phil, and JC Riley did the live B3 show last April, and they were really happy to receive it. They also informed me that their new album was finished. It is currently being mixed, so we should be hearing soon about its release date. So while that's going on, the other band, Lucero, I think it's Lucero or Lucero, they go on, and they have a great set. If you want a good idea of what this band sounds like, think Southern Folk Rock meets Meat Loaf's Bad Out of Hell album. They're great, the audience is loving it, and I was instantly hooked by their melodies. And I would have gotten one of their albums, but one, I only had about $20 on me, and two, they had like 8 albums to choose from, and I didn't know which one to start out with. So if any of you, like, listeners out there are familiar with Lucero or Lutro, however you pronounce it, do let me know what's a good starting point for this band. finally, after about 30 minutes, the lights go down, the Foggy Dupe blares from the speakers, and the Murphys run onto the stage and start off with "The Boys Are Back," and the crowd goes nuts. They do a catalog of their newest stuff mixed with the old, from the classics Barroom Hero and Finnegan's Wake to the newer Going Out in Style and Rose Tattoo. A couple times they had a very talented Irish step dancing troupe busting out their moves, and it was really neat to watch them do that while they were playing their traditional Celtic punk sound. They even threw in some good covers like "I'm Taking Care of Business" and "Highway to Hell" for good measure. The highlight of the set came during the encore when all the ladies bum rushed the stage as Ken Casey crooned my personal favorite Murphy's track, "Kiss Me, I'm Shit-Faced." The crowd was singing along and the girls were having a great time. And you know, I would like to say right now that whenever "Kiss Me, I'm Shit-Faced" plays anywhere, there needs to be like American flags blowing hard in the wind, bald eagles soaring high in the sky, and a military choir singing the chorus, because that song is secretly such a patriotic melody. I don't care what anybody says, that is a true American song. And it came time for the guys to have a chance to jump on stage when they went straight into Skidhead on the MBTA. And they closed off the night with "Boys on the Docks," which I felt was a great way to end the show. Sadly, no Tessie, no Sunshine Highway, or there wasn't even "Rocky Road to Dublin." But I've seen them play those live in the past, so it was no biggie. You know, this is why you go back to see your favorites live, because their set list will constantly change, you know, sometimes night to night. So if you went to see the Dropkick Murphys the first night of the St. Patrick's Day tour, they might have a different set list when they play the second night and the third night and so on and so forth. So, if you've never seen Dropkick Murphys, Skinny Lister, or Lucero, or Lutero, like, again, I don't know how to pronounce that. If you've never seen any of these bands live, I highly suggest going to see them. They all put on a great show, one that makes you feel like you're part of an experience rather than just a spectator. Not sure when the Murphys or Lucero will be back, but you can catch Skinny Lister again on June 16th at the Middle East Upstairs in Cambridge, and they'll be touring across the country as well. I'll be there showing my support at the Cambridge show, and hopefully by that time, the new album will have dropped. However, Skinny Lister did recently release an EP called "On These Rotten Streets, My Best Days Have Been Spent," which is a line from their song 17 Summers. There are 3 live tracks on there and 2 new studio cuts, and I'm going to play one of the newer songs that are on the EP. This one's called "Merry Old Dance."
Was the apple of your eye before the storm? A storm that left you in tatters, a broken man. And she crashed into your life, and then with the dark, well, she was gone one May morning, but left a mark. Pull yourself together, all has not been lost. Pull yourself back up and dance again, this merry old dance. A sweet liquor, you got drunk, took you in with those dark eyes, and you were sunk, and there was no turning back now, your course was set, for a heart that was blacker than wimpy jet. Pull yourself together, all has not been lost, pull yourself back up and dance again, let's marry on dance. Pull yourself together, all has not been lost, pull yourself back up and dance again, let's marry on dance. From the day far too many months, it's time to climb this old hillside and fill those lungs. Won't they remember it warmly, a lost romance, and how that beauty did lead you a merry old dance. Together, all has not been lost. All has
young and pretty. I spoke about this band a couple of weeks ago when talking about both the High Lows and the Cro-Magnons, as y'all share the same vocalist and guitarist. A lot of people like myself are still hoping for a reunion of sorts, as Hiroto and Masatoshi rarely ever play anything from that catalog, and I think that kind of sucks in my opinion. Last week at the South by Southwest Festival, rock legend Neil Young held a discussion where he revealed a new digital music player that he says will change the way we listen to music forever. Dubbed Pono, which is Hawaiian for righteous, the 128GB music player will be able to hold 1,000 to 2,000 songs, all of which can be bought on the Pono Music Store. Not only has Neil Young been there for every step of this music player's creation, but so have the likes of Beck, Patti Smith, Arcade Fire, Pearl Jam, Herbie Hancock, and Foo Fighters, just to name a few. And they were able to raise the money to make it happen on Kickstarter in like under 8 hours. And this all sounds pretty exciting, but I do question how many people, you know, the average Joes, will plop down $400 for a music player that holds only a ton of songs. I mean, after all, a $250 iPod can hold up to 40,000 songs. And I do realize that 40,000 songs is if you have the MP3s or M4As as either 128 kilobytes or 192 kilobytes. And these songs being made available on Pono Music will be a completely different audio format. But how many people are going to be able to tell the difference? I mean, you can tell the quality of music when it's as low as like 32 kilobytes to 128 kilobytes. But when you reach 192 kilobytes, you can't really like tell a difference till you get to that big 320 kilobytes. This is from, you know, an audio perspective, so it may be different for others. Yeah, you know, I guess it'll be up to Neil Young to convince people like myself that the Pono will be a better fit for music aficionados like myself instead of the iPod I've had for like over 7 years. What I'm hoping to see when this comes out is something like a booth setup at like my local Best Buy, where you can compare the sounds from an iPod with those with the Pono. I myself have never had a chance to really compare something that was in lossless audio with the same file that was in MP3 format, so I'm curious to see what the difference is going to be. So let me ask you listeners a simple but technical question. Which do you prefer when it comes to your music format? Are you an MP3 kind of guy, or do you like the lossless audio of AIFF or whatever it's called? Write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com with your responses, and we'll read off the best on a future episode. I apologize if that was a little bit too numbery. I like to get technical sometimes. Why don't we go back to some music? Does that sound good? Coming up next, we've got Last Alliance, and some of you may be familiar with their songs from such anime series as Ouran High School Host Club and Hajime no Ippo, New Challenger. From their 2003 album, Tears Library, this song is called See You Again. 2010 album Sidewalks. For all you Boston listeners, they've got a show coming up on April 5th at BU Central. So check the Boston University website for more information. So there's been a little bit of controversy going on regarding the upcoming release of Ubisoft's Watch Dogs, which is a title that I've been waiting to come out for the last couple years. Every time I've seen a preview of the game, whether it's at E3 or PAX East, it has looked gorgeous. It was dubbed by many as the big step towards next-gen graphics, not to mention some great gameplay and storytelling. Well, Ubisoft has just released a new trailer for the game, and a lot of people are up in arms over the fact that the game is not looking graphically on par with what has been shown at these conventions. Now, I've been following this game since it was announced at E3 2012, and the more I hear about it, the more excited I keep getting. In fact, initially, this was going to be my first PS4 title, until they pushed it back to May. Up until this trailer was released, I saw it as the pinnacle of what to expect for the next couple of years of gaming. But this story trailer, I gotta admit, it has left me feeling uneasy. I know that graphics don't make the game, which is something I have been totally saying for years since it was the Wii versus PS3 versus Xbox 360. However, the difference here is we were promised a beautiful game, and while the trailer looks okay, the game looks more like a current-gen title than something we'd see on the PS4, Xbox One, or even the Wii U. And, you know, this is somewhat reminding me of what happened with last year's Aliens Colonial Marines, only the switcheroo then was revealed on release day. At least here, they're giving us something of a warning. Still, the fact remains is we are being deceived yet again. So, why make a big deal out of something like this? Well, let me give you a bit of an example. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that they announced that those hoverboards we saw in Back to the Future 2 were going to be finally made. And we see them testing it out on high jumps and loop-de-loops and see it rise off the ground to amazing heights. And we all think it's looking awesome. They announce a release date only for it to be pushed back a couple times so they can work on a couple kinks. And we're patient people, so we'll just wait for them to make that final release date announcement. Then, after months of no word, we finally get a date for those hoverboards. But then, they say, oh, these hoverboards are only going to be able to work on flat ground, they'll only be able to rise 2 feet, and they'll only have a 15-minute battery life. You would be pissed off, right? Well, that's why we're up in arms over this graphical change. Companies need to stop lying to their consumers and just work harder to make what they promised a reality. Of course, Ubisoft Benelou PR and Events Manager Tessa Virland did go on the record and say that she has seen the game and that it looks even better than it did when it was revealed a couple years ago. So, now we have to figure out which side is telling the truth. The company itself? Or the trailer? But we probably won't know until PAX East next month, as they should hopefully have a playable demo by then. For now, let the speculation begin. Right now we're going to spin a song from the Emeralds, whom back in the day I used to refer to as the Godfathers of the Japan Night Tour, mainly for their many years playing on it. From their Talk About Love EP, this one is called Juliet.
Conduit Inc.
Thank you.
damn sensuous that was Cornelius with Fit Song. He just released a great new remix album called CM4, which features his mixes of tracks by such artists as Yoko Ono, MGMT, Tomoyasu Hote, and the Beastie Boys. So, Baby Metal Mania has gone worldwide, with the debut album from the hybrid J-pop death metal group topping the iTunes rock charts in both Japan and America, as well as in the top 10 on the UK, Sweden, Australia, Canada, and Ireland charts. Bands like Metallica, Garbage, and even the top metal critics from around the world are loving it. Fuck, even I gave it 4.5 stars on my website. It was that good. But why? What is it about baby metal that makes them so damn appealing to the general masses? Well, let's dissect the band for this quick discussion. First, we've got the three high school girls, Su Metal, Moe Metal, and Yui Metal, doing the vocals. Su Metal does most of the singing, whereas the other two are more doing, like, screaming and chanting. And their vocal skills are pretty good, not to mention they've got some killer dance moves. But if Baby Metal was just these three adorable-looking girls, they'd be labeled just another idol group, lumped into the same realm as the Morning Musumes and AKB48s of the Japanese music scene. That leads to the trio's backing band, the one that usually dresses up like skeletons when they perform live. And it's some pretty heavy shit they're playing, like the works of Slayer, Cannibal Corpse, Megadeth, Gwar, and even X-Japan joining forces together in a very unholy matrimony. These are some incredibly talented people that are behind these instruments, and they're worthy of playing in such places as Wacken, Sonosphere, the Download Festival, and even Copenhagen, just to name a few. Now, let's put these two pieces back together again to make this Reese's Peanut Butter Cup of a band. J-pop vocals with a death metal background. Not since the combination of death metal and dinosaurs that created heavy sodas has something this unheard of popped onto the musical radar. And if you had told me that it would work in the way it does, I would have laughed and labeled you a retard. I'm sorry. But the results, it's crazy. Death metal songs about chocolate, playing hide and seek, and fox demons. And the songs are great. You know, I can't really explain it. I don't know if anyone can really explain it. But, of course, not everyone is happy about baby metal dominating both the rock and metal charts of the world. Some folks in the metal community, mainly hardcore fans of the genre, are screaming that they aren't metal, that they don't deserve to be anywhere near that label. And in a couple of the songs' cases, they're right, but for the majority of the album, it's pretty brooding what comes out of these instruments. Yes, I know that the concept of baby metal was thought up by some record label executive or pop idol talent agency, but it was up to the band members themselves to run with the idea in any direction they wanted to take it, and they brought it onto the most golden path imaginable. I mean, after all, the Sex Pistols were also created by a record label higher up, so don't forget about that. And they're legends now. And one last thing. The idea of J-pop and death metal coming together in one band is so ridiculous, so evil, that it can only be concocted by the devil himself. That alone is what makes baby metal metal. And I hope that Su Metal, Moe Metal, and Yui Metal will continue to bring the band to much taller heights in such a way that they don't become just another fad. Although, ladies, whenever you do come to America, can I suggest you add a couple theatrics to your live shows? Like, you know, do something like Alice Cooper. Like, cut off the head of Miley Cyrus and play catch with it live on stage or something. You know, I think the fans would love that. You know, at least I would. Back in 2011, this band's album, Eraser, knocked the Jay-Z Kanye album Watch the Throne off of my top 20 albums list of that year. They are currently in the studio working on their next album, so right now we're going to spin something from the album I just mentioned earlier. Here are the Nux with She's So Up.
So I said, fuck it. Now have you ever met a girl? Your world into a playground. She does her dance and devils
get there before you lay down.
What you saying? Now what you saying?
Now the time is right now. What's the answer to this cancer? Okay. The nail is in the coffin and the darling has the hammer. On repeat like a seance. Seance, how twisted. The season of the witching, boy, you better get the picture, cause ain't no time to be listening to blues, cause she never had a clue what the fuck she put you through. Gotta keep your mind on your money and your honey on your side. That girl is something vicious, she gon' eat your ass alive.
She's so hot, she's so hot. Yeah, she's been moving around. She's so hot, she's so hot. Yeah, she's been moving around.
She's a sexy skinny slicker, hard like liquor in the morning. She will hit you with that nagging before dawn and you still yawn. Better get that sleep up out your eyes, you know you're in for a surprise. Men and women that she size, she gon' creep up on the side. Now the time is right now, what's the method to this madness? Such a devil in high heels will give you thrills of fucking savage. A sneaky little bristle, have you sizzle like a skillet. In your heart, mind and body, in your pockets, you gon' feel it. Cause ain't no time to be listening to blue, cause you never had a clue what the fuck she put you through. Gotta keep your mind on your money and your honey on the side. That girl is something vicious, she gon' eat your ass alive.
She's so hot, she's so hot. Yeah, she keeps me moving around. She's so hot, she's so hot. Yeah, she keeps me moving around.
Detroit 7 with In the Sunshine from their EP Third Star from the Earth. While their official website has been dormant these last couple months, their Twitter seems to be pointing out that they are currently working on something, so I hope they reveal what that is really soon. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on No Borders, No Race, or if you have any questions for our good friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com and on Twitter at king_baby_duck. And you can like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade. And don't forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues Program. This weekend, I will be at Anime Boston with my pals Pandalicious from Esh, Issues Guy from Issues Program, JC Riley of the Couchmasters, the Flemings of Wicked Anime, and 42 Believer of 42's Anime Reviews. If you see me in my Bastards by Name, Not by Reputation t-shirt, say hi! We may give you a hug if you do, and I promise we'll have showered, so no confung coming off of us. And don't forget, Wicked Anime's Hardcore Anime Panel will be held on Friday evening at 11:30 p.m. in room 306 at the Heinz Convention Center. Don't miss out on it. Come on, have some gory fun. We are going to end today's show with some Maximum the Hormone. This track comes from their Yoshu Fukushu album, which was number 20 on my top albums list last year. And I really urge you all to check out the music video for it. It is ridiculously funny. Here's Alien. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.
Whoop it till I say, the back is the same.
stop me.